Do you like film? Do you like comedy? Do you like your childhood memories?
One more take?
Yeah.
Lewis and Pete's bad nostalgia film club.
Each episode sees comedian Lewis Charlesworth and Pete Phillipson revisit a classic childhood film through the eyes of an adult to see how messed up it truly is. Be it Back to the Future for its story of incest, Mrs. Doubtfire for its tale of the creepy cross-dressing father babysitter, or Home Alone with its sinister home invasion toddler torturer nightmare.
Bad nostalgia.
Hello everybody, you beautiful listeners, and welcome to Bad Nostalgia with me, comedian Lewis Charlesworth.
And me, actor, writer, comedian, part-time salesman for a paper shredding company.
Look at you.
Pete Phillipson.
Upstaging me with all your titles. You're just outdoing me every week now, don't you?
I am,
just,
mate.
You're just showing me up, aren't you, lad? Showing me up. Right, welcome to Series 2 we're in now, isn't it, Pete?
Series 2.
And we had pretty much the high water mark was last week with Little Mermaid.
No pun intended.
Oh, you see what I mean? Every time we go on to the Little Mermaid, just, the gems just pop out, don't they? I'm going to take my headphones off because they're annoying me. And it was just a great show, and I just don't know how to live up to it, but I don't mind because the pressure's off, really, because I feel like we just can't beat it. Like, we can't beat Little Mermaid.
Shall we tell everyone what we're going to do?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
this week we are going to discuss and dissect...
No, I mean the next series.
Oh, the next series?
Yeah.
Right, not the actual show.
I wasn't rushing you on, mate.
Sorry, mate. Oh, fine, we'll keep them in the dark about what this show is, but what we're doing next series...
Yeah.
Next series, we're... After our high watermark, no pun intended, for The Little Mermaid last week, We've made a decision about next series, haven't we, Pete?
Yeah, we have.
What we want to do is we want to focus purely on cartoons and animated films, potentially mainly Disney films, because they're extra, extra squeaky clean and therefore hypocritical.
It's a gold mine.
It's an absolute bloody cherry tree, mate.
Yeah.
And I've just made that up. So.
Cherry tree?
Cherry tree. It just makes sense to me. Lots of little cherries.
And we're
cherries.
Pick nuggets. The nuggets.
Pick the nuggets.
Of inappropriateness.
Nuggets inside the cherry.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So today, back onto the to focus on today, we've got Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is a perfect film.
Perfect.
And why is it perfect?
Because it's got everything.
It's got everything you could ever want. It's so diverse, isn't it? You've got a bit of animation there. You've got the people there.
And you've got this crime noir theme.
Exactly.
Which just does not belong in a kid's film.
At all. But it's so overtly a kid's film. Because it's rooted in that kind of cartoon, nostalgic world. The film Who Framed Roger Rabbit is nostalgic in its sense. It's a metaphor for this flipping show.
Exactly.
Look at me, still not saying any F-bombs. I'm so professional now. Do you know why I'm professional, listeners? Do you know why? Because, bad nostalgia's out there in the world. We're uploaded ourselves. We're on iTunes now, baby, aren't we?
Yeah.
iTunes. And we're on something called Podomatic, a lovely little podcast system, which is American based, I think. So let's grow those American fans out there,
because
we are talking about American films after all.
Exactly,
aren't we,
yeah.
So it's all quite
climbing the rankings.
We're climbing. We're booming. Oh, we're climbing every day, mate. Every single day. We're going to be having a new little website out soon as well. And it's just, we keep going. We're growing.
Yeah, mate. Building the BN fan base.
Oh, mate, I can feel them. Can you feel them?
I can feel. I can't wait till they start saying, "Did you catch BN last night?"
Oh my god!
Do you know what I mean?
I can't wait for us just to have a tweet. To be honest,
yeah.
I mean that to me is absolute measure of success. So do tweet us. That's a great opportunity for you to crowbar it in. Tweet us at Bad Nostalgia, at Bad Nostalgia. Tweet us anytime. If you're listening now, if you're listening on playback, just please tweet us. Show us you're out there and you're listening, and that you effing well care. Right, so that's the epilogue. Let's crank things up a gear, get those cherry trees falling.
The nuggets falling.
I'm going to leave that.
The nuggets falleth from the tree.
Into our mouths.
Yes.
And then we absorb them and they grow and they... No. Right, what we're going to do now is we're going to talk... You know it, guys. We're going to talk nostalgically about the film Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Michelle. Right. And I think the old listeners who are listening right now, you can identify the fact that we've got a different nostalgic bed that we're going to be talking over the top of now. It's a little bit Backstreet Boys. It's a little bit more subtle than the last one, shall we say.
I like it. Yeah.
It's appropriate.
It's
not as over the top as the last one where you've got a woman going, when we're trying to speak. It's like, shut up. Rosie's always like, what is that woman? I can't hear you. Right, okay, so here we go. We're in a land of nostalgia. Let's just wrap ourselves in a blanket of just passion and unadulterated joy.
Yeah.
Like the first time we watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So it was released in...
1988.
Was it 88?
It was 88, mate,
It feels like it. It's a period set piece, so I'm talking out my arse. Right, so how old were you?
1988? I would have been two.
Oh, right. I'm not joking. I'm genuinely surprised then. I was genuinely surprised then. Because I was three. I thought, why is he a year younger? You always are, aren't you? Right, you were three, I was two. No, the other way around. You were two.
I was two.
I was three.
You were three.
I was three. So...
I mean, I'm not sure what year I would have watched it in, though, but I remember watching it alongside...
Not as a two-year-old.
No, not as a two-year-old, but obviously early 90s. But I remember watching it alongside all these other films like Back to the Future and Hook.
It was definitely the same ilk as Back to the Future, same director as well.
And slightly off topic.
Yeah.
I didn't know till I watched it, you know, a couple of days ago, that was Christopher Lloyd
time.
And I used to watch...
Great character actor.
I remember one week I watched like Back to the Future, and then the next day I watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
And it's him.
I never knew it was him all that time.
Yeah,
that was Christopher Lloyd.
It's amazing. His face is completely hidden. He's there on display, but it's such a different performance, isn't it?
Well, you just lost when you're a kid.
He's turning up the creep.
You just lost when you're a kid, aren't you? You're lost in it. You believe almost that they're real people.
And this was a great example of a film you believed because you wanted to believe this was true.
Because,
my God, what is a better fantasy for a kid other than seeing your favourite cartoons interact with humans which could feasibly be you? It's that bridge in the gap between the fantasy and reality. It was amazing.
Yeah, I thought that world was real as well. I thought that actually existed at the studio in America.
Oh, it was amazing.
There were just cartoon characters walking around.
Yeah, they did that on purpose as well.
Yeah.
And if you look back as well, there is a link to Little Mermaid, because we were talking about how Little Mermaid created this Disney and cartoon renaissance, because it was flagging in the late 70s and early 80s. And then this was actually predated The Little Mermaid just by a year. And it was this and The Little Mermaid that kick-started everyone's interest in animation again.
Yeah.
And you can see with the way they did this, they had Disney cartoons, they had Warner Brothers cartoons, from all these different massive kind of gigantuan empires of different cartoon institutions all came in together in one film, somewhat lightly because of all the legal stuff around that, and they're competing with each other. But I think they were all up for it because they were like, well, we need this film as a platform to advertise how amazing cartoons are.
We need
it to resuscitate. And it did. Oh, bloody hell.
Oh,
and then some, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
have you ever seen a film before or since which combines Betty Boo with Bugs Bunny, with Daffy Duck, with just everything. They threw everything at you. And as a kid, you just, your mouth is open and you're catching those cherries in your mouth and you're fucking swallowing. I got too excited. I said fuck. But yeah, there's a big dollop of nostalgia in it, mate.
I mean,
was there any particular memories you have when you were a kid watching it?
I remember it vaguely. There's a couple of specifics. Like, I remember it arousing some feelings. I remember Jessica Rabbit arousing some feelings.
Hold your horses.
But I was not ready for those feelings, but they happened.
Yeah.
And also, I remember her as a rabbit.
Really?
Yeah.
What, before you watched it a couple of days ago? She was an actual
half-human, half-rabbit.
Right.
That's how I remember it. It is.
You didn't have those striking mental images of an absolute goddess of a human styled cartoon drawing of a woman. You actually thought in your memory, you were imagining she had big rabbit ears.
Right,
that's disturbing.
Because it's.
But you still found her attractive.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what does that say about you?
I don't know.
Did you ever have a pet rabbit?
And I didn't. Wanted one.
Good. I'm glad you didn't.
But I thought she was. This is like one of the. Unlike some of the other films we've done that I have actually, you know, revisited, you know, say maybe like 5 years ago, genuinely haven't.
That
I
is a real surprise, because you've got a bit of a photographic memory as well. You've got the robot mind, haven't you?
Yeah.
For our listeners, you're the fact boy. Yeah. You're the robot Lincolnshire potato man. You always know. But it's interesting that for this particular film, your memory
is
a little bit...
It's because I haven't seen it in about 22 years. Literally. Something like that. Yeah, wow. Honestly. Wow. And I remember the bit with the steamroller. I remember that being very terrifying. Yeah. And I can't pinpoint exactly what it was I loved so much about it. But I remember watching it all the time. And I remember this vague... This is really weird as well. I remember this vague feeling of sort of national pride by the fact that because Bob Hoskins was in it, and he was like this guy from London who was in like a Hollywood film, and I'd seen him in Hook and something else as well. I can't remember.
But even back then, you had a bit of national pride.
Well, it's weird. I remember going to my parents.
Even
like,
back then, you were a bit Nigel Farage.
It was Lincolnshire, mate. Do you know what I mean?
They drum it into you from birth, don't they?
I know.
I mean, most babies when they're born, they're wrapped in a towel. You're wrapped in a little Union Jack flag, aren't you? Carry on.
And it was, and I remember going to my parents. Why he's like a Cockney, he's from London. Why is he doing an American accent?
Right. Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? And it was so weird. I was like, he's English. How can he be in a big Hollywood film?
Yeah.
And he was like, he was doing it, mate. He was smashing it. It was Bob Hoskins. Wow. Do you know what I mean?
So you brought that to it.
I genuinely sort of, remember that.
Yeah, that sense.
Because he smashed it, didn't he?
He smashed it out of the park, mate.
They do not make actors like that anymore.
They don't.
Do you know what I mean?
God rest
his soul. Just some guy from London.
Yeah.
Who just, do you know what I mean?
He just perform anything. Mate, give it here. What do you want? What do you want?
Yeah.
I perform. What do you want? I'll be a Georgian. Do you want me to be a Georgian? I'll be a Georgian. Ach, man. Oh, what do you want? I'll be Welsh. I'll be Welsh. Yeah. Oh la la.
That was French. What?
I don't. Sorry. I don't know. I was trying to pick things that I wouldn't be accused of being racist for, and I just merged them all. Right.
What do you remember, mate?
I don't remember Bob Hoskins as being a Cockney. The first time I remember seeing Bob Hoskins was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So I had it from the other way around. So when I saw it was a Cockney, I was like, oh my God, he's not Valiant.
Yeah.
From Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Is he Cockney? Yeah. So I had it from the other way around. But I absolutely adored this film. Absolutely in love with it. In love with it. Must be. It's up there with my top three films of all time when I was a kid.
Out of all the films
we've done so far, definitely. This is the perfect.
There's just
no other
film like it. That's the thing.
There isn't.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been since, even with all the CGI we've got nowadays.
It's
beautiful. It's magic. So it's the perfect film for us to absolutely tear apart for the second section.
Yes.
So before we do that, of course, we need to play the trailer from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
This is the tale of an up-and-coming movie star named Roger Rabbit and a down-and-out private detective named Eddie Valiant.
Ooga booga!
Every moment they were together was a new adventure in trouble.
Hide me, Eddie! Please!
It's a motion picture about friendship.
Please, Eddie! Don't tell me I'm making a big mistake!
Love. Compassion.
Right, I'm sorry I yanked your ears.
All the time you yanked my ears?
Murder.
Marvin Acme. The rabbit cacked him last night.
Remember, you never saw me.
Sex.
I'd do anything for my husband, Mr. Valiant. Anything.
And violence.
Tunes gets him every time.
You wouldn't have any idea where the rabbit might be.
Got a thing for rabbits, huh?
The whole thing stinks like yesterday's diapers.
It's a comedy a little different from all the rest.
I'm a pig!
I'm a toon!
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
But tell me, Eddie, is that a rabbit in your pocket or are you just happy to see me?
Touchstone Pictures and Steven Spielberg present a Robert Zemeckis film.
We toons may act idiotic, but we're not stupid.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Absolute goosebumps, Pete. I don't know about
you, mate.
But flipping out. I've got little bubbles on the back of my neck.
Yeah.
It's like sandpaper of love and joy and nostalgia. Oh, God, that is an absolute big fat dose of nostalgia about the past 15 minutes. I've absolutely loved it. I could go home now.
I know. You text me tonight saying we need 2 hours for tonight's show.
I
could have talked about it nostalgically.
for an hour?
Yeah,
pretty
for
much.
An hour, yeah.
And I could talk about we're going to get onto Jessica Rabbit. Obviously, she's going to be the star of the show, but I could talk about her for about 8 weeks without breathing. So it's not too
bad. We're not here to just be nostalgic,
I'm just
are we?
Drawn that way.
There we go.
Oh,
there she is.
Hello.
We've got many sound cues for this evening. Many of
I like
them.
That.
We
Can
need
I take
to make
one
sure.
Over me?
We need to make sure, Pete, as well, every time Michelle presses a button, we don't just sit there in silence and listen to the quote all the way through. The first few times, maybe, but yeah, we do it all the time, don't we? Particularly, it's tempting for this one because just hearing her voice, that sexy, sensual voice.
Yeah.
Oh, flip dangle. Right, so let's talk about the film and let's really tear it apart. Michelle, let's do this, please. So, Pete, you did. You texted me earlier today, didn't you?
I did.
You wanted me to have a bash at the synopsis. Didn't
yeah.
You? Right. Okay. Was there any particular reason why you didn't want to go for the synopsis?
Because I can't do it.
What do you mean you can't do it? You couldn't get your head around it.
I don't know. I don't know where to start. I don't know whether to do a vague. I didn't know whether to do a vague synopsis or a really detailed one. Because if you go into a bit of detail, you're going to have to describe everything.
Yeah. You're going to get stuck. You're going to get bogged down.
And it's like.
Yeah.
How do you just? And it's like, because we always describe it in a way to people, you know, who've as if they've never seen this film
exactly,
before.
Yeah.
And what the hell do you say?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, well, good luck, mate.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, my strategy is a combination of the two. I'm going to attempt to do a proper logical step by step account without going on too much. Hard for me. And if I do get bogged down and confused, because there's a very, very good chance of it. Then I'll just do a really breezy, vague synopsis. Because to be fair, when I was a kid back then, and I think this goes for a lot of people when they watch this, you just see cartoons interact with people. That's all you need.
And that's, yeah.
And you just get swept by it. Right, okay, so here we go. Toontown imagines a place where cartoons are not drawn things, but real-life living beings. And they have their own version of Hollywood, which is Toontown, and people go in and they film the cartoons in this world. So it exists in our world, and humans interact with the cartoons. That's the outset. That's the background.
But the toons obviously aren't people. They're like this weird sort of thing that almost to be feared in some way, that they're separate from human beings.
Yes,
but they interact just like humans.
We can get to that later.
Yeah.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. So what happens is, the premise of the plot happens. What happens is, I'm getting tangled up already. I've not even started. Okay, so Roger Rabbit finds out by way of Bob Hoskins that his wife, Jessica Rabbit, is having an affair with a man who owns Toontown.
Yeah.
The next day, that man is killed. Roger Rabbit, he's got a motivation to kill him, therefore he is prime suspect number one. The judge, evil judge, who has an iron fist, rules Toontown with an iron fist, he is chasing after Roger Rabbit, because obviously he's the number one suspect. Roger Rabbit hides out in Bob Hoskins' house because he is a private detective who used to solve lots of crimes on behalf of the cartoons, but then his brother was killed by a cartoon which sent him against them. But Roger Rabbit sees the good in this guy and hides out at his house. He takes pity on him, tries to hide him. The judge finds him. And then Bob Hoskins gets to the underside of the conspiracy to work out who actually killed this guy, because Roger Rabbit's framed. He discovers that one of the producers of the big film studios in Toontown is somehow implicated in it. As he confronts him, that man is killed. Bob Hoskins then assumes it's Jessica Rabbit. Turns out it wasn't. It was actually a judge. The judge captures Jessica and Bob Hoskins and Roger Rabbit and claims that he was behind everything. He framed Roger Rabbit because he wants to get rid of Toontown and turn it into a big fat motorway, as far as I understand. Then they have a big fight. They kill Judge Dredd, who turns out to be a cartoon after all.
Yeah.
They find
Judge Doom.
Did what, I say not, Judge Dredd?
You said Judge Dredd.
That's
all
confusing.
Right. Mate, you're doing so well.
Then Arnold Schwarzenegger walks in. Judge Dredd? Why did I say Judge Dredd? They find a will in the end that is from the guy who owned Toontown, who was killed at the beginning. They find his original will, who says the Toontown is not up for sale, but it should be bequeathed to all the cartoons in Toontown, and everybody lives happily ever after. And Toontown ends up being a kind of a co-op, really, which is owned by the people for the people. Thus, the end. I think that's
and
it.
And breathe, mate.
And breathe.
That was amazing.
That was as good as I could have done.
I was on the edge of my seat more listening to your synopsis than the actual film itself.
Can I have a soundbite?
I'm not bad.
Good. I'm not bad. I'm brilliant. Right, good. I actually managed to pull that off. Right, okay. So, if anyone's still listening after that really long, boring fucking synopsis, let's talk about why this film is massively inappropriate for kids. I mean, it's really out there. I think this might win the series. I'm just saying that off the bat. This is quite a messed up film in so many ways. Really, I don't even know where to start. Have you got a start point, mate?
I've got a starting point.
Go on.
So, obviously, I can't remember so much of this film. So, the opening scene, I just couldn't believe what I was witnessing. Like, we've got a little baby just dicing with death for about 5 minutes. It nearly gets stabbed.
Oh, in the cartoon section.
In the cartoon section. Yeah. So at the start is a cartoon. There's a little baby. It nearly gets stabbed. It nearly gets burnt to death. There's one bit where it nearly drowns in the sink. And who's watching over this little baby, you know, to make sure it doesn't die a brutal death? Is it a mum? Is it an au pair? No, it's Roger the fucking rabbit. And it's not like Family Guy. Do you know what I mean? Where he's like a walking, talking adult. He's like an actual pet.
A very stupid pet.
A very stupid pet. And we know this because the opening line is, look after him, Roger, or I'll put you back in the science lab.
Nice. Yeah. So basically, these cartoons, and this happens pretty much for the first 20 minutes. You just see cartoons are violent. The films are insanely violent. Everything they do, every time, like, Roger's anywhere, he's jumping through windows, the baby's, like, trying to grab women's vaginas. They're just, like, complete hedonist, insane, just explosions
are they
of things.
Are they Looney Tunes?
I think that's some
is
sort
that
of
what
crossover.
They are?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you don't realise it. As a kid, you just find it funny. But now you're watching it, you realise why they're... I never thought why they're called Looney Tunes. Yeah. It's because they're fucking mental.
They're absolutely
They're
really hyperactive, really violent. They're obsessed with violence.
They love
like getting twatted and stuff. All the whole film, to be honest, is about violence.
There's
a massive theme that runs through it.
It's
like,
so violent. Yeah.
Like Judge, what's he called? Like he wants
Judge
to
Doom. Dread.
Judge Doom.
Yeah.
He just wants his thing is to. He's found a way where you can actually kill the cartoons. Right up to that point, they kind of jump through windows. Oh yeah, stab me! I don't die because I'm a cartoon. It's funny, blah blah blah. And he's like, well, actually, I'm giving you a consequence of the violence. I can actually fucking kill you.
Yeah.
So it is. There's like a quite sinister undercurrent of stuff going on. And then you've got Valiant, who's the Bob Hoskins character, who goes to a bar, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Quite in the early stages, meets Betty Boo, who's black and white, where everyone else is in colour. It's progressed.
Yeah.
And he watches Daffy Duck and Donald Duck. They go at it in their performance. They're just supposed to be playing on the piano. And then he gets a cannon, and they're just shooting each other.
It's just relentless, isn't it?
It's absolute full on, yeah.
Yeah.
There must have been casualties. Like, the humans can't live through anything. So, occasionally, the cannon must get turned on an actual human and just die, and then they just ignore it or something. I don't know. But, yeah, it's incredibly, incredibly violent.
Yeah.
Right, so what else have we got in the opening sections? You know, that bar he goes to as well as a matter, as another point. I don't know if you saw this, but I did. This is a little bit of trivia, but it's also me reading into it as well. That bar is like a reference to the bars they had in Hollywood in like around that time, the 30s and 40s, where because they say the cartoons can only be in the bar if they're working on the bar or if they're performing on the stage. And that kind of mirrors how black people in Hollywood in the 30s and 40s weren't allowed to socialise there, and they could only either perform on stage or work in the bar.
Yeah.
So there's like an overt parallel between the cartoons and black people from that time, which is, again, that's interesting, but for a kid's cartoon, like getting bogged down racial symbolism. And then it's a cartoon. And then it makes it really dodgy with the Bob Hoskins character, because he's so like racist towards the monkey cartoon who's on the front door.
Every time he sees him, he's like, oh god.
Well, he goes ooga booga.
Yeah.
It's like thinly veiled massive racist over here. And then Jessica Rabbit. Then she emerges.
You got me all wrong.
Yeah, there she is. All wrong, baby. I actually forgot about how... I mean, we've had Ursula in the last episode, when we were talking about Ursula and for me and Ariel for you, how that kind of developed our formative years of sexuality, finding ourselves and stuff. But now, it's just a few more levels up from that with Jessica Rabbit. I forgot.
I thought it was going to be, like, less explicit than I thought it was when I was a kid, because you know when you're a kid, you see a bit of, you know, your mum's friend who's, you know, you see a bra popping out when you're like a young kid. You're like, fucking hell,
that
do you know what I mean?
Incredibly erotic.
This was more erotic than I remember it as a kid.
Yeah, up to the point where you're about 10, this was pretty much porn.
This is about
as overtly sexual.
This
as it
was
could
the closest thing
get.
You could get.
I mean, these things exist now, so it's not like we're imposing this on Jessica Rabbit. Cartoon porn exists.
Yeah.
It's not my bag. It's not. Is it your bag?
It's not my bag.
It's not your bag.
No.
But it exists, and Jessica Rabbit is prime cartoon porn. In fact, anyone listening now, any lads, you're online, Google Jessica Rabbit cartoon porn, right, and I'll see you later. Because it does... Lads.
We've got a lad fan base.
The only lad I'm aware who listens to our show on a regular basis is my dad, so I don't know why I've just encouraged him to masturbate.
Gav.
And Gav, yeah. So the Jessica Rabbit sequence is effectively a strip show. It's a sex tease, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because she grabs their ties and pulls them up, and it's so sexual. She doesn't need to get flesh out because there's stuff going on in your head, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just proper cartoon porn. And so why have they done this? They've, like, properly bastardized and just ruined what a cartoon's all about, which is about being innocent and friendly for a kid.
By making it this seedy sort of crime noir film, which somehow just, like, shouldn't fit with a cartoon at all.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Stop trying to make me want to have sex with a cartoon.
Yeah.
Bad. Yeah. I'm just drawn that
way. It's like making me want to shag Barney or something. It's like cartoons are cartoons. That's separate from sexuality. Combining the two just doesn't sit right with me. She's amazing, Jessica Rabbit, don't get me wrong, but why is that? I mean, who drew her? Every cartoon character in Roger Rabbit is designed to be in a silly little fat cartoon and stuff like Mickey Mouse. What is Jessica Rabbit designed to be in? Jessica Rabbit plays Snow White, something like. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who has the biggest tits of them all? Like, what would she appropriately be casting?
Well, is there anyone else who's a human, who's a human cartoon?
Well, that's a good point. No, apart from Betty Boo.
Who
I always found incredibly sexual as well.
Of course she did, yeah.
You got me all wrong.
Which, Reed, of course you did. Is she my type?
Of course she's your type.
What, the black and white, 4-4?
Not black and white, just voluptuous.
Yeah,
voluptuous.
Yeah. I guess she is. So, I'm sorry, I need to stay on the Jessica Rabbit thing for a bit. It's just, I mean... The fact she's a cartoon, it's used to kind of heighten this element of fantasy, isn't it?
Because
it's drawn by a man for men, and you can create whatever you want. It's like you've got a fantasy in your head that will always be more sexual than what is in reality.
Yeah.
And she's a manifestation of, like, the sexiest thing you could ever think of.
So in
some ways, Jessica Rabbit is actually more sexual than X-Hamster.
I have no idea what X-Hamster is.
No, neither do I. It just came to me.
I just laughed to help the show.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
You laughed as well, Michelle.
Even Michelle is X-Hamster. So prevalent in today's modern age, isn't it?
Mother of the year.
Mother of the year. What's going through all these men's minds as well in the film who are so attracted to her? Like Bob Hoskins, they look at her and they want to fuck her, clearly.
Yeah, that's that look on their face.
So what are they... Yeah, how far are they going in their heads? Are they thinking... I'm going to bang the cartoon Vag?
Yeah.
How would that happen, practically speaking?
Yeah,
it's implied
yeah.
a lot in this film. How would it actually happen?
Yeah.
Pete, have you got any ideas?
I don't know, but, like, if it did happen, and, you know, let's say, you know, Jessica Rabbit hadn't had a trim and he didn't like it, he could just, like, he could get a rubber. Do you know what I mean? Not a condom, an actual rubber, and just erase it off.
Rub out the pubes?
Yeah, exactly. I think
it'd
be great.
You are so sinister. Why does that pop into your head?
I don't know. I didn't have that plan to say.
God, that set my cough off that.
But that's what I imagine.
Right,
it would be like.
Okay.
You can do a bit of editing.
You could change her complexion.
Exactly.
She could be
that's
green.
That's what I should have
said. Yeah, that's what you should have said, maybe, Pete. You could just rub out her fucking pubes. Mate, can we just, like, cut her hair or something? Why do you have to do that? Okay. You could give her tattoos.
You could give her a tattoo.
You could give her a new dress.
Yeah.
But is anything underneath that dress?
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It might be like a Barbie doll. You get what you see because it's manufactured.
Yeah.
What's the point in drawing the details of the complexity of a vagina if you're never going to see the complexity of
I just
of the
can't
vagina?
Imagine.
Sorry,
Michelle. Because it's drawn. I imagine it would be like trying to have sex with a ghost. Like, yeah. I just imagine the penis just going through.
What you don't
you
see, like, ain't there.
Yeah, yeah.
What you
I
don't
I can't
see,
imagine. So what do they want to do to this cartoon?
It's just a bear shit in the woods.
It's a draw. It's something someone's coloured in. So what do they want to do to her?
Oh, God. I'm getting, like, I'm a bit, like, oh, I'm getting lost in this because I'm getting a bit turned on and I'm getting a bit creeped out at the same time. Right, so to continue with the Jessica Rabbit thing, because, sorry, I've got so many points on her. I think she's the essence of why this film is so messed up. Sorry, yeah, we will get off it.
Michelle's just loaded up some very interesting things on the internet.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another point, though, with the Jessica Rabbit thing.
Yeah. Right,
it's an obvious thing. It's the elephant in the room. She's... Or the rabbit. sorry.
That was just your face then.
I know, but we're on radio.
I know, wasted. Exactly.
Wasted. That's... although I do love the format of radio and it's brilliant and I want to continue doing it. Right, Jessica Rabbit is married to Roger Rabbit. They're married. What do you do when you're married to someone? In the early stages, at least, anyway. You have sex, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So how does that work? And I'm not, that's, again, I hold my hands up. I'm not reading something into something that's not there, okay? They explicitly reference it in the film. This film, I'm telling you, encourages and makes normal the concept of bestiality, right? Because later on, Valiant, what's he called? Bob Hoskins' character says to her, Roger, a better lover than a driver? And she goes right up to him and she says, you better believe it. It's like, she's actually said he is a great shag.
Yeah, yeah.
So she is fucking Roger Rabbit. So, I mean, it starts to imply all sorts of things. Could they mate and have kids? If they've got the facilities to do that? I mean, what's a hybrid rabbit-human being child?
Is that where the rampant rabbit came from?
Oh, my God, maybe it is, mate. Oh, my God, that's perfect. Although that's even more inappropriate as well.
Yeah.
But what would a hybrid child between the rabbit and the human being look like? And also, would it get any work in Toontown? I mean, are there any creepy kids films? Are there any creepy kids films where you need something that has bunny ears and a penis? I just don't know.
I never realised how, like, tragic the character of Roger the Rabbit is as well. He's this, like, because he's like a comic actor. I think he must have been based on other comedians. He's this, like, manic depressive, like, just hysterical, like, neurotic mess.
Yeah.
And his wife's just out, like, banging Daffy Duck.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he's really
tragic, isn't he?
And he's heartbroken
as well.
Yeah.
He's really tragic constantly. He's this neurotic mess through the whole film. I hated him.
And for a lead, he's so wet, isn't he? It's kind of... Bob Hoskins actually drives everything forward and he's just there kind of whining and screaming and getting wasted. He gets pissed a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah. That's another point I had, like, with Bob Hoskins. You've got his character, Detective Private Eye Eddie Valiant, who's just this, like, raging alcoholic.
Massive.
Which is, like, another
alcoholic.
Really, really sort of inappropriate thing to have in a kid's film.
Yeah.
And it would be fine. We're getting to a point now, you've got, like, animations like, I don't know, like, Inside Out, which is all about, like, mental health and things like that. And they're starting to address...
Really noble kind of
causes. They're starting to address, like, causes and things like that. So it's okay to have those adult films in a kid's film. You know, if it's addressed properly. But it's not. Like, there's no point at, like, where Bob Hoskins, like, gets any help or anything like that. Or he turns to the camera and just goes, like, listen, kids, Detective Eddie's body and mine react slightly differently when he has a drink to other adults. It's not. Yeah. It's just this fat little bald man getting shit-faced for an hour and 45
the whole
minutes.
Film, yeah. And he doesn't have an arc where at the end he's like, I'm going to give up the drink.
Yeah.
The most they have is he gets a bottle of whiskey, throws it up in the air and shoots it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, mate.
And that's only because he's about to drive a car.
Yeah. But he's been driving a car earlier anyway. I was going to say this. He's like the most highest functioning alcoholic in this film. He has a sex drive. He solves cases. He drives a car for fucking ages. He beats up bad guys. All the while, he's completely pissed.
Yeah,
the message of this film is drink, mate, and you will be a fucking legend. Like the bit when Roger Rabbit is stuck in the bar as well, when Judge Doom catches him and he holds him over the pot and he's about to kill him. What happens? What saves the day? He says, give him a drink. He gives him a drink. He goes mental and they escape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The message of this film is booze is fucking good. Keep drinking. Right, so on that note, we're going to have a few words from our sponsors and we're going to continue to talk about this film, baby.
Whether you're an acoustic virtuoso or a rock god, Fab Music Store. At Fab, we buy and sell new and used kit with guitar brands like Faith, Breedlove, Lag and Westfield and Dynacord and Electro Voice sound systems.
We hire sound systems from £60 and have guitars for sale from £39.99. With ukuleles, banjos and all the lights, leads, stands and mixers you can imagine. For sales, hire and service, Fab Music Store. Little Underbank, Stockport. Visit fabmusicstore.co.uk.
Across the world, 24 hours a day. This is Fab Radio International.
Bad nostalgia.
Elliot, look what I made for you.
Hello, and we're back. Right, I have absolutely been running my mouth off because, as Pete was saying, I said I had 2 hours worth of stuff to do it, and I've barely paused for breath.
And it's all been about Jessica Rabbit.
It's all been about Jessica Rabbit. Absolutely every single point. Sorry, mate. Yeah, I'm sure had some other stuff about the first half of the film.
I just couldn't get over the fact that when you're a kid, the whole crime noir thing just goes completely over your head, and you don't realise am I right in saying crime noir? Is that what it is?
Film noir.
Film noir, yeah. They're about sort of seediness and sex and murder and the underworld, and that's in a kid's film, and there's so many little things. Just little things that are picked up on. There's those pesky street kids hanging off the back of that tram
right at the beginning,
smoking Lucky Strike cigarettes. And Bob Hoskins, you'd think he'd say to them, like, well, you know, don't smoke, kids, because you're like seven. Then he gets off the tram at the end, he's like, cheers for the fags, lads.
Yeah.
And then just walks off. He's like seven-year-old kids.
Again, is this functioning alcoholic just bumbling his way through life?
I know.
Being helped by these little reprobate children giving him cigarettes.
And there's so many, and he's dealing with, like, so much, like grievance as well. As that scene in the bar where that guy comes up to him and starts winding him up about working with cartoon characters. And he kicks his stool away and he's like, listen here, buddy, I don't work with toons. And you think, well, why does he say that? Does he want to be considered as, like, is it like a pride thing? Does he want to be considered as a, like, respectable detective? And then the barmaid's like, yeah, one killed his brother. Do you know what I mean? There's so many adult themes in it. Just the idea of having, like, a sort of crime thriller, like, with cartoons is just, like...
His character arc is totally about someone who was prejudiced against cartoons after they killed his brother and then learns to like them over the course of the film, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So it's about an alcoholic racist.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Who has a bit of a joke at the end and we're supposed to think everything's all right. It's like, well, he's not really gone through much of a transformation, to be honest. Yeah, totally amazing point. Did you have anything about the cartoon baby? Because I think he's an aspect of real... weird sexual creepiness that is just
doesn't
sit right with me in this film. You know the baby that you were talking about at the beginning?
But
when you get to know him, because he smokes a cigar. Puts his head in a woman's
boobs. His mum's boobs.
That's the thing. What is his relationship to that woman? Because she's not his mum, because she's not a cartoon. There's a woman who pushes him in the pram, isn't she? And she's dressed up with little hot pants on, like you do in the 40s.
And he references his... libido at some point or something. What does he say?
I've got the line.
What is it?
I've got a 3-year-old's dick trapped in a 30-year-old's libido.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, I don't even want to begin to imagine what that even means. I mean, how sexualized did you feel when you were 3 years old? Did you feel like you had a 30-year-old's libido? Could you relate to that?
When I saw Jessica Rabbit, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's not.
But not my mum's boobs.
No. Well, and he said a 3-year-old dick, but he's a baby. Were you pushing a pram at 3 years old, Pete?
No.
Right, so what's going on there? You've got a 6-month-year-old with a 3-year-old's dick and a 30-year-old's libido.
Is that three?
Like some weird Frankenstein mess of sexual repression.
I think he's just. I think he's just said that he's three. No, he is three, but the reason he's still in the pram is because he wants to carry on. You know, getting his mouth around those udders.
maybe that's why. I think we've got to the bottom of that one.
Yeah. Okay. Solved,
Mr. Pete.
Detective Pete.
So, unless you've got anything else you want to move on with, then we can just go on to the latter half of the film now. Although we keep jumping back and forth, really. So let's just go for anything. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Christopher Lloyd's character was like some sort of like Enoch Powell, just walking around, but instead of like a disdain for black people, it was just like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He was like an Enoch Powell, or like a, you know, like a,
well,
like a Nazi,
all,
like
out,
a
mate.
Nazi doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
do you know
Hitler.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't it? That's what it is.
Because the maker, Robert Zemeckis, said as well, he was like, oh, the whole thing with dipping the cartoons inside the green solution, he said that represents the final solution. He actually said that. It's trivia, but he said that. So that's supposed to be like ethnic, a form of ethnic cleansing, the way he dips the... And that scene, how have we not talked about that? When he gets the innocent little shoe and he dips it in that pot of stuff and he just completely kills it for no reason, just to show them an example. And it's an anthropomorphized shoe. It's like a little human squeaky thing with the face. Yeah, good word. I even wrote it down.
I could see the excitement in your eyes when you said it.
I wrote it down to pretend I'm really intelligent, but we're talking about the fact that I've used that word, so obviously I've just undermined myself. But the Judge Dredd is just so
Judge
over
Dredd.
The top.
It's not Judge Dredd, mate.
God. It's so over the top, though, how evil he is. And you've got that weird running motif as well, where they say, do you know what happens if you laugh? You know, the weasels, they laugh all the time. They've got that running thing. Do you know what happens if you laugh too much? You die from laughing. And that's a weird idea to introduce into a comedy film for kids.
Yeah.
I'm watching it. I'm like, yeah, this is so funny. This, yeah, and if I laugh too much, I'll die. I enjoy this. What? What kind of message they're trying to put out there? Have you got anything about the final section or anything like that?
The steamroller bit, again, just as terrifying, if not more, than when I was a kid. And also the bit where he comes back to life as well.
Oh.
It's just absolutely, like, horrific.
But he looks like Flat Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great reference. Appropriate reference. Oh, that was terrifying, though, innit?
Yeah.
How did they do that?
I don't know. I just can't
so
believe
creepy.
the way he just disposes of the cartoons as well. You think it would be in a comical way. Do you know what I mean? Like falling off a cliff or something like that. But it's proper, like...
Sinister,
like
shit.
Breaking Bad style, dissolving them in a tub of acid.
Yeah, it's sick. It's really terrifying. God, it just creeps me out just thinking about it.
Yeah,
and the final death bit. I think we've got a little sound cue for that, haven't we? When he's melting like the witch. Oh God, I've got goosebumps again, but for a different reason. Not erotic goosebumps, fear goosebumps now. Right, so I think we've covered head to toe, covered the film. Unless there's any final points you wanted to make before we move things on.
No, though. Mate, no. Not at all.
Okay, so let's have a few words from our sponsors, and then we're going to do our this little bit what we call the film trivia part after these words.
Get in, Robin. We've got a mission.
Ooh, what a lovely car. Ooh, I love the leather.
Robin, we have a mission.
Look at the muck on here.
Pay attention, Robin, because today it's our responsibility to save radio.
Can we call in Dorothy's diner first? I'm gagging for a brew.
But we've got to tell the world about FabRadioInternational.com.
Ooh, are they the bad guys?
No, Robin, they're our heroes.
Bad nostalgia.
What the hell are you doing to my car?
Hey, beat it, spook. This don't concern you.
Who are you calling spook, Peckerwood?
We'll ruin your childhood.
And we're back. Thank you, guys. That was some words from our sponsors and a little segue there. So what we're going to do now, everybody listening out there, and Mr. Peter Phillips, is you know. Peter Phillipson. Did I call you Peter Phillips?
Yeah.
Why am I just dreading everyone's name in this place?
Sorry, mate. It's not like you're my comedy other half, and we've known each other 7 years, and we do a radio show together and gig all over the country together.
I've been to the Edinburgh Festival. I always thought you were called Pete Phillips.
Yeah.
He's not. He's called Pete Phillipson. Pete Phillipson. Look him up. Oh, my God. You will laugh. Right. So we've got...
Look me up. Listen to the show.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, God. Long day. Very long day. So we've got the film trivia bit where we discuss the makings behind the film, which caused it to be the messed up thing that it is.
Hey,
Film trivia time.
So just before we start this, I just want to remind people that do tweet us right now, @badnostalge, not bad nostalgia, @badnostalge, tweet us, write us, follow us, do it. Right, here we go. Trivia. Pete?
Yes, mate. You've probably got this one. To give Jessica Rabbit, okay, to give her ample bosom an unusual bounce, the animator Russell Hall reversed the natural up-down movements of her breast as she walked. So they bounce up when sort of a real woman's breasts bounce down,
yeah,
and vice versa. And you're thinking, Russell, mate, it's a kid's film.
Exactly.
Like, no one was going to watch it and be like, well, it was a great animation, fantastic characters, but her tits were just a bit too real. Do you know what I mean? Why? I'm that's a boom that expert way. Right there.
It's worse than the Tomb Raider thing with Laura Croft tits, isn't it? Because yeah, this is proper play into a family kind of audience. Yeah. Why? And I'd love to watch the credit sequence at the end, you know, with all the people who've worked on the film. Apparently, it goes on longer than any other film because of the amount of people working on it. I bet there's like a Jessica Rabbit's tits team of about 20 people. I did the areola. I did the left nipple. I did the right areola. I did the cleavage. I did the boob sweat. Is that a thing? Boob sweat? I don't know. But yeah, that's a really, really great point. Again, to bring it back to Jessica Rabbit every single time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got another Jessica Rabbit bit of trivia as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You might have seen this one.
Yeah.
This is kind of out there. It's about a re-release, the Blu-ray re-release. So it isn't going dating back to its original release, but still a re-release to the film. When they did the Blu-ray, and they, you know, they tweak it and stuff like that, apparently Variety reported that there's a part in the film where Jessica Rabbit kind of falls or something, and you end up seeing her vag.
Yeah.
If you split screen it. You know, back in the day, you press pause on a video and everything jumps right, can't see stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But with Blu-ray, you pause it and it is like crystal clear. Apparently, it was reported by some tabloids that if you pause it at a certain point, you could see Jessica Rabbit's vagina because the illustrators were so dirty. They threw that in as an Easter egg, shall we say.
I'm not bad.
Yeah, there you go. You are, you dirty little girl. So when they released this information alongside the release of the Blu-ray, apparently the Blu-ray sold within minutes. Like, all these dirty old men were buying like hundreds of copies of Roger Rabbit so they could pause it. So I could just imagine kids around that Christmas time like, Daddy, why have you bought me 27 copies of You Frame Roger Rabbit? Like, shut up. I'm making some cash.
I read that. It's saying like, but the way the trivia makes it sound is weird, because it's like they say, when they watched it back, they realised, oh, she was commando under her dress, so they had to edit it out. And it's like, mate, it's a cartoon. It's not like she's a real person that's forgot to wear knickers. Yeah. Don't get the cartoon people to draw a vag on.
Just don't draw her a vag. Have you met Barbie? There are options. You cannot have a vag.
She's not a real person.
Well, I know. How can they justify? Well, we just had to give her a vagina. If she bends over, a vagina would be there. No, it wouldn't, mate. She's not real. Get out of your own head, you dirty ex-hamster bastard. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. And Tim Curry auditioned for Judge Doom as well, didn't he? Did you see that?
Yeah, slightly off topic as well. Yeah. Bill Murray auditioned for Eddie Valiant.
Well, they offered it to him.
They offered it to him.
But he's got that weird system where he doesn't answer his calls, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't want to sound harsh, but I think he would have been even better than Bob. I can picture him in that role.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. He would have brought so much more humour to it, but You can't knock Bob Hoskins at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If anything,
yeah,
Bill Murray would have been a bit too sarcastic throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Might have undermined some of it, whereas Bob completely commits to it.
Yeah, he wouldn't have cared, even when Jessica Rabbit's, you know, boobs were in his face. He'd have been doing that classic Bill Murray thing of just like, I don't care.
He would have improvised something.
He would have improvised, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, love him. So, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. We've got... obviously, we've talked about how inappropriate Jessica Rabbit is. I think we've touched upon that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But what another level of that is the fact that Kathleen Turner voices the character. And she voices the character while she's 9 months pregnant.
Oh, so it's really?
Like, yeah. So you're jacking off to a cartoon, for one, who's voiced by a woman who's 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And that woman who's 9 months pregnant then obviously evolves into the woman we know as Kathleen Turner today, who resembles in person more of a Bob Hoskins than Jessica Rabbit. So, So
I don't remember her being that husky as well when I was a kid. Yeah. It's really, really
she
weird.
She always was, but yeah. I think it's more obvious.
She was how many months pregnant?
9 months.
9 months pregnant.
That means about to drop, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, as you know, anyone who's had a kid will know, apparently sex actually induces pregnancy. So I wouldn't be that part is so central. I wouldn't be surprised if she was, you
literally
know,
dropping
popping
water.
It out in the studio, yeah.
Oh, that's
you've
nice
got one. Me all wrong. Yeah.
Like recorded all the Jessica Rabbit yeah. bits while she was had her legs
while
up.
She was, while yeah. she was,
yeah, having a cesarean. I'm just drawn that way. Yeah, good. Right, any more little points of trivia, brother?
Yeah, I've got a good one here.
All right, go on.
Bob Hoskins claimed that Jessica Rabbit was not yet sketched by the animators when the film had ended. And he asked Robert Zemeckis, well, what does Jessica Rabbit look like? And Robert Zemeckis like said to Bob Hoskins, imagine your ideal sexual fantasy. And like, I bet Bob Hoskins was like, because Bob Hoskins' sexual fantasy could be anything. Yeah. So I bet when Robert Zemeckis said, well, Jessica Rabbit, she's your ideal sexual fantasy, that's what she looks like.
Yeah.
Imagine he was like, well, this is a kid's film. What's two lesbians with a double-ended dildo going to be doing, like, in a kid's film?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, what he imagined was nowhere near as overt.
I read that. I don't believe that for
a second.
Do you
not believe that?
Yeah. Someone said to you, imagine your ideal sexual fantasy, and a cartoon lady pops up.
Yeah.
With boobs bouncing the wrong way.
He's imagining it just with her legs over.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
He was probably gutted, if anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Clothes on. Yeah, totally agree. Right, so we've done the film trivia bit now. We are going to have a few words from our sponsors and we're going to do the full roundup, people. See you soon.
Whether you're an acoustic virtuoso or a rock god, Fab Music Store. At Fab, we buy and sell new and used kit with guitar brands like Faith, Breedlove, Lag and Westfield and Dynacord and Electro Voice sound systems. We hire sound systems from £60 and have guitars for sale from £39.99. With ukuleles, banjos and all the lights, leads, stands and mixers you can imagine. For sales, hire and service, Fab Music Store. Little Underbank, Stockport. Visit fabmusicstore.co.uk.
Bad nostalgia.
Hey, you. Get your damn hands off.
Oh. George, help me, please.
Just turn around, McFly, and walk away.
We'll ruin your childhood.
And we're back. Thank you very much for the final section. Right, so let's do the full roundup. Violence out of five, mate.
Can we give it a six? Is that possible? Can we be a bit...
Go mad. Give it a six,
I'm
mate.
Giving
if
it
you
a
want
six.
To give it a six,
yeah.
You do it. It is out there, innit? I put four for some reason. I don't know why. Horror.
Horror. I'm going to go for a four.
I'm going for three. Sex.
Sex. Five.
Yeah, it's a five all the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still thinking about it right now, to be honest. Language.
Language. Don't think there's anything, is there?
There's a is few there bastards and shits.
Is there?
Yeah. I'll son give... of a bitches.
All right. I'll give it a three then.
I was giving it a two.
Actually, no, I'll give it a two. I'm going to give it a two.
And racial bonus points?
Racial bonus points. Well, it's got to be a four, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, mate.
For the underlying theme that isn't, you know, really touched on. And there's one black guy in it as well.
Is
through
there?
The whole
I
film.
I don't even remember that.
In the bar.
In the bar, is it? What, yeah. Like an extra?
No. No, mate.
I was going to say, you are
he's
shit
got,
hot.
He's got lines.
I was going to say, you're really on it, mate. You see race everywhere. Right, okay, so I've got 18.
Oh, wow. I've got 21.
That's the highest this series
that is,
so far.
Yeah.
That's going to take a lot of beating, brothers and sisters. Well, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Bad Nostalgia, looking at Who Framed Roger Rabbit. We'll be back next week. I had to think about this. We were going to do Santa Claus the movie, weren't
yeah.
we? But I reckon we should change it to Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2, yeah.
Are we on board
I was
that?
Actually thinking that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's in the public eye. Where everyone's watching it. It's amazing.
It's how professional we are, deciding what the show's going to be while we're on air.
while the next show's desperately waiting to come in. Yeah, okay. So we'll continue this conversation in our own time, and we'll see you the same time next week. Stay tuned, people. Love you.